You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You as we give you this week's drone news. Joining me today is Mr. Haya Costello from Drone DJ. Haya, welcome to the show.
Hey, Paul, as always, thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to today's news episode.
I'm looking forward to today's news episode as well. We've been good at consistently missing every other week. Maybe it should be a bi-monthly show. I don't know. But things do come up. It is summer season. We've been training a lot. We've been flying a lot. I know you've been flying around. You've been covering a lot of new stuff. And this has been quite the turnaround week in news, yeah. At least as far as I see it. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. There's a couple of things happening. You want to start off with the DJI story right away? Let's begin there.
Let's go ahead and get started with this week's first piece of news, which, well, it shouldn't shock many people whatsoever. And if you remember, the Army had recently banned DJI drones from being utilized by different areas of the military. But in other pieces of news, DJI has been banned along with other drones as well. And there's been quite the response from DJI as a whole. Haya, what's going on this week?
Yeah, this story really goes back to 2017 when the first initial sounds were made or concerns were expressed, I think, about DJI possibly sharing information captured on their drones here in the US back to the mainland China. And that got sparked again earlier this year, but now it seems to come to a boiling point also because of the increase in trade tensions between the United States and China. So what DJI has done this week is first they sent a letter to the Senate subcommittee denying some of the false claims that were made during that committee session, at least as far as DJI is concerned. And secondly, they announced that they're going to make a special DJI government edition for a certain type of drone, which is very likely only the DJI Mavic 2 Enterprise Jewel, to make sure that those drones are locked down and that any information, specifically video footage and photos that are captured by those drones, under no condition can leave those drones. And it consists of a couple of things. They want to make sure that there's no data transmission, that all the firmware updates for those drones can be pre-screened before the drones are actually updated, and also restricted hardware pairing, meaning that you can't just hook up any drone with any other device, especially third-party devices. So DJI has become really concerned. They want to make sure that that they restore the trust that people have in the drones and that data is not being shared in any possible way to China. Of course, the big question is, are people buying this? Are people believing DJI at this point? In the last efforts to make sure that their products would qualify for government agencies to buy, DJI also announced that they're going to start making drones here in the United States. Now, this is not a full production capacity. I mean, think of this, of having parts of the drone produced probably in China still, then shipped over to the US, and then assembly would take part in one of the warehouses previously used for distribution purposes for DJI. And I believe that as long as over 60% of the total assembly of the drone takes place here in the United States, you can claim the drone as being built or produced here in the US, and therefore you would be able to get certified and have government agencies be allowed to purchase the drones. So DJI is trying to fight this whole story on different fronts, trying to restore the trust and trying to stay in the government business for drones.
Well, Haya, it's been extremely interesting as this has all played out. As you mentioned in the very beginning, you know, this has been going on for quite some time. And I believe it started with the bug bounty program and how one particular hacker had actually sent packets through the DJI system and picked them up on a Chinese server. And it was really interesting because there was a very long white paper that literally explained the step-by-step process of how it was done. And since then, we have seen DJI deny those claims, and then we have seen the American government take a much more strict and extreme position. by not allowing the drones to even be flown by other people in certain types of airspace, especially like critical infrastructure airspace. Now, something that I do find extremely interesting, Haya, and I just want to bring this up because I think that this is something really silly, and I'm wondering if you're thinking the same thing that I'm thinking. So let me just be really clear. DJI says there's no data transmission problems, but if that doesn't make you, but here's the government edition that for sure doesn't transmit data. Isn't there some sort of innate admission of a problem if you're saying, oh, wait, no, this doesn't do that. But if you want this, you can go over here.
It makes you wonder for sure. I mean, a DJI government edition, how about a DJI consumer edition that makes it impossible to share any information outside of you, your drone, and your smartphone? I think it's a fair question. We've received a number of comments on our articles and also through social media and email, people specifically asking the same thing, like, hey, what about us consumers or commercial drone pilots? Why can't we get a totally locked down edition of our Mavic or Phantom drone?
Why can't we pre-screen firmware updates, when we know that there are fishy things going on to force firmware upgrades, just like how Apple does. So, I agree with you 100%. I will say, as I said in previous shows, that for a majority of users, that this really doesn't affect them. But after our discussion in pre-show, and I told you about one of our students who's facing a really hard time, they've been completely locked out of flying in that area, 100%. And it's really disappointing. I will also say, I want to set the record straight really quick. DJI says there's a government edition firmware. I'd like to clarify to everyone that there is already a government edition of firmware that was going around before this. So yeah, they're not really putting out anything new. Anyway, I gotta say, I agree with the people who have been commenting. I agree with you that, look, DJI, we would love the opportunity to have complete control of our vehicles as well. In fact, the Supreme Court has already laid down the law and the case law that says that once you sell these drones to us, we do own them. And removing features or removing areas where they can be used is actually against the law, at least in the case law. So that particular case law was not specifically for drones. It was more for software. But again, here we are again. Once you purchase something, it's yours. So I gotta say, I'm not sure that that this whole DJI drones now being finally assembled in California is going to make that much of a stir. In fact, I would say that the proof in the pudding, Haya, is the DOD. It was either DOD or DHS put out that PR release, the one that I sent to you, showcasing the new American drone manufacturers that were approved. And in fact, one of our close friends is a part of that group, and I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you, Mr. D. That's all I'm going to say. And I think it's important to move on to this next show, as many people probably agree that they would like to have fully locked down drones as well.
I would totally agree with you. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how DJI is going to respond going forward. It seems like they've been a little bit behind the eight ball and they're trying to catch up, and they're still not quite there, I think.
Let me ask you this, Haya. Do you think the gap is ever widening for an American drone manufacturer to come in and swoop up?
Oh, if you're an American company and you would have the resources to come out with a drone product, I think this would be the ideal time to do so. I can't really come up with a company that's ideally positioned to do it. I mean, if you go back a few years, it seemed that GoPro would have been in a good position to start, but we know how that story ended. So unfortunately, that didn't work. But I mean, if you're an American company and you have the resources to enter the drone market, I can't really think of a better time to get started than right now, I would say.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's a great time to get started with new American drones. Anyway, moving on to this week's next news story. It seems like drones are becoming quite the nuisance. Why? Well, when people go out to eat, they tend to like their peace and quiet. But if some Instagrammers would have their way, it's not going to be a quiet dinner. Haya, what's going on?
Yeah, this story takes us all the way to the eastern part of Switzerland, and there's a mountain lodge or mountain restaurant called Escher Mountain Restaurant, and it's a beautiful place. It's right at the foot of a steep rock face, and the scenery, as you can imagine, in the Swiss Alps is amazing. So nowadays with social media, everybody who comes up there, of course, they want to take photos, they want to share it on social media, and a fair amount of those people have drones, so they fly their drones. And apparently the restaurant that's under new management is getting really annoyed with drones getting close to the windows and flying over the terrace, and they're trying to get them banned from that specific area. Which is not an easy thing to do. I mean, apparently, one of the managers of the restaurant says that the people that fly drones professionally are very much aware of all the drone rules and regulations. However, the hobbyist drone pilots apparently are not. And it seems that these people are the ones causing the frustration. So we'll see what's going to happen there. I don't know if it's set up in Switzerland similarly as here in the US, where you would have an aviation agency that rules the skies. I believe it is the case. I'm not sure if they can restrict drone flying around the restaurant. The rules do say, though, that you cannot invade on people's privacy. But what does that mean? Like, can you get 100 feet close to a building, 200 feet, 300 feet? Like, where are those boundaries? And I think that's going to be part of this discussion. People that are annoyed by these drones should contact the local police, they say in this case. So we'll see what happens.
It's really interesting because here in the United States, those people would not have any protections whatsoever, as they are outside in a public area, and they have no what they call reasonable right to privacy. So very interesting to see how that will shake down at that restaurant. But in other news this week, it seems like the Canadians are getting quite serious when it comes to using drones. How are our neighbors doing up north, Haya?
Yeah, with the new drone rules that came into place very recently, now the Royal Canadian Mounted Police has stepped up and they've purchased 200 drones. They say from about 6 different manufacturers. However, very likely most of these drones, again, are the DJI Mavic 2 Enterprise Duo. And the drones are meant to be used in border investigations, protecting VIPs, and also for other other police work. 200 drones, I think that's one of the biggest purchases that I've recently have come across. So it seems, that's the Royal Police Force in Canada is stepping it up big time with the purchase of 200 drones. Of course, this sparks concerns from the other side, saying that, hey, if you have drones with cameras, then obviously this is surveillance technology. I mean, how do we make sure that the police force is not going to use these drones to spy on people when they have no reason to do so? We've seen similar discussions take place here in the US, in Boston and in LA recently. So it's that same discussion. However, at the same time, the police, did go ahead, got those drones, and I'm sure they're going to plan to use them pretty soon.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I love seeing public safety using drones, especially, drones that are really solving problems. It seems like, more and more people are doing that, which is phenomenal. I mean, I think it's great. Moving on to our next story and coming back down south to the United States, have you ever wanted to fly over people? Well, I'm sure you have, because if you're like me, you've been keeping up on the NPRM about flight over people. And even if you did get a waiver to fly over people, as there are about 29 now, it seems like those waivers have a short lifespan, which may be changing. Haya, what's going on?
Yeah, this takes us to North Dakota. And North Dakota, there are drone tests taking place, part of the UAS IPP program. And the North Dakota Department of Transportation received a 4-year waiver from the FAA to fly drones over people during these safety tests. A 4-year waiver is quite extraordinary, as you mentioned in the introduction. For these drones, they'll be using the Para-Zero Safe Air Parachute Recovery System. Bit of a mouthful, but that's a system that they're going to be using. And that's interesting too, because earlier today on Facebook, we saw a story that you mentioned pre-show about somebody using the Para-Zero safety system and had the drone in sports mode, which apparently you're not supposed to do. But I mean, you have to read the manual, I guess, to know all the ins and outs. And that accidentally deployed that system, and he, as a result, lost his drone. So even though the Para-Zero system is supposed to make these drones safe to fly over people, make sure you read the instructions and know all the ins and outs of that safety system, because if you use it in the wrong way, then it becomes a hazard instead of a safety mechanism.
I have to say, Haya, these new safety mechanisms sure do have a lot of nuances, a lot like these enterprise drones that we've been seeing recently. And frankly, I almost made a fatal mistake myself. I was doing a compass calibration for one of our students who had a ParaZero parachute on his Phantom, and I almost deployed the system myself just doing a compass calibration because, you know, you tilt the drone to the side. You know, it's interesting too, because the story that you mentioned on Facebook, the user did state that he had read the manual through and through and then went back and realized that ParaZero did actually instruct the user not to fly in sport mode. It's an interesting nuance, Haya. It's an interesting nuance. You'd think maybe from here on out, ParaZero will figure out some way to code this in, that if you're in sport mode and you go into a 22-degree forward pitch, that you're not actually crashing, that you just like to fly like a boss.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that you can easily forget when you're flying and you're focused on completing a job or just focused on taking photos and shooting video. You want to come back home quickly, put it in sport mode, and all of a sudden your drone gets tangled up in the parachute system. I can see how people forget this and would mess up for sure.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Well, let's move on to this week's next news story, which actually showcases a trend going on in America. As more and more utilities begin to use drones, everything from solar to other forms of power energy to power line inspections to inspecting cell phone towers and even wildlife preserves. Yeah, you heard that right. Now drones are being sent off to another form of industrial inspections, Haya. And it seems like there's been quite the trend as more and more adoption is going on at higher and higher levels of management. What's going on here?
I was going to ask you, where are you taking me with your introduction? I think what you're getting at is the inspection of troubled bridges in South Carolina in the United States. Apparently, this took place about a year ago when they had an incident with a bridge where one of the cables had snapped. And they figured out that they have about 9,000 bridges and hundreds of them are considered structurally deficient. That means that those bridges need to be inspected. And typically, you would send out a crew. It's manual labor. You send people all over the bridge inspecting it for cracks and other default or problems. Of course, with the drone, you can get to that bridge as well. You can do so much quicker. You can do so much safer. You can do it for a lot less money. And this is what's going on in South Carolina. The South Carolina Department of Transportation has been working with the Clemson University and the University of South Carolina. They started up a project to use drones to inspect these bridges. And already it's been quite successful. They said that on average, they save about 7 hours on a bridge inspection, which equates to about $3,500. So with a drone, you can do the work for less money and also for less time. Now, last year, when you and I were at the DJI Airworks convention in Dallas, Texas, during the keynote from DJI, there was a company called Auto Modality, and they were shown as an example. And Auto Modality has drones that fly autonomously. So the drone pilot would fly the drone towards the bridge, but then as soon as you get close and the drone can actually detect the structure, the drone takes over and flies and follows the structure of the bridge for inspections. And they said they had similar findings. Back then in the video, I believe they were talking about a bridge that was 2.2 miles long and weak work that would have taken days with a crew, and for which also you would have to shut down parts of the bridge for security and safety purposes, could be done with a drone much faster and much cheaper. So now we're seeing the same development taking place in South Carolina. I think it's a good one. Keep people away from doing dangerous work. If a drone can do it for less money and increase safety and faster, then I think we should be all for that.
No, I agree 100%. And like I said, I love just seeing more and more high-end technical uses of drones because it's showcasing the evolution from taking pretty pictures to, wait a minute, this is actually a tool. This is the new DeWalt. It just happens to fly. So I love it. I think it's fantastic. I love that more and more people are seeing the utilization of drones as well. And it just goes to show that there are so many opportunities for growth. You know, it's actually interesting, and I want to bring this up because I noticed the drone that they were flying is that waterproof drone. I forget what it's called. I know it's made out of England, but it's still a DJI flight controller. It's actually pretty apparent to see that considering he's using a DJI remote. But something I noticed yesterday as I was flying on set at a local movie here in New Mexico is that if you're flying an A3 flight controller, so something like you would find M600 Pro, you would find it in, I believe, in an Inspire 2 as well. Now, that particular unit, the Inspire 2 or M600, has geofencing, but whenever you're building a customized A3, we have yet to see any issues with geofencing. In fact, yesterday on set, I was overseeing another operation, and they didn't get any geofencing whatsoever. So it makes me wonder, as we just talked about DJI and their drones, if it's possible to use a DJI flight controller but not the intelligent system. And because, I mean, let's be honest, DJI has probably the most easy and convenient to use flight controllers that are out there.
Yeah, and this would allow you to get around it.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. Well, one, maybe not the security concerns, but maybe some geolocation concerns. So anyway, but it's really interesting is this week's news kind of takes a turn. But as we're heading into July 4th next week, Haya, I just want to say on behalf of all Americans, happy Independence Day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for our news show today. If you have a question, go to askdroneu.com and make sure you check out all those articles on dronedj.com. Haya, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show, man. I'm looking forward to doing the next one next week and not 2 weeks from now.
Well, I may have to just nip that in the bud because I'm going to be on vacation. I didn't really celebrate my 30th birthday, so I'm celebrating my 31st in style. And we are also celebrating 1,000 episodes, which dropped yesterday. So really excited about finally pushing through 1,000 episodes. I'd be honest, Haya, at the beginning, I'm not sure I really believe that we'd make it to 1,000.
I can imagine 1,000. That's what, 4 years worth of work. I mean, assuming you don't do them every weekday. But congratulations, 1,000. Hats off to you, man. That's impressive.
Thank you, Hi. I appreciate it. Well, on that bombshell, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us today. Words cannot express my gratitude and appreciation for the fact that you are here and you get your news from us. If you want to leave us a little gift for 1,000 episodes, all you got to do is leave us a review. Anyway, that's going to do it for our show today. My name is Paul, and you're listening to another episode of Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.